The prophet Isaiah tells us of the Messiah that the Lord God has given him a well-trained tongue. And today we see in today's gospel that truth truly in effect. For the Lord has come for a reason, and that reason is to work for the salvation of sinners. And so today he must work earnestly because one amongst him is about to betray him. And so the Lord, who does not wish to expose the private sins of anyone to public ridicule, tries during this discourse to bring Judas to his senses. For when the Lord says, "The one who dips his hand into the dish with me," he does not necessarily expose Judas, for it was a common custom that the followers of a teacher would dip their bread in the cup that the teacher also used. And so it is not understood by the apostles that Judas is singled out here in this episode, and that is proven by the very fact that when he gets up to leave, St. Peter and St. John do nothing to prevent him to go about the task that he appears to be going about, but really it is the task of betraying the Lord. And so the Lord, knowing that this is not enough to bring Judas to his senses, also says in today's gospel that it would be better for that man that he had never been born rather than to do what he is about to do. And so the Lord, by an admonition, does not get through to Judas, and so he seeks to threaten him with punishment, the punishment that was to come, and he does so always that Judas may come to his senses as he would discourse with all at that time, so that all may receive his mercy. We know the faithful lot of Judas, that he would not allow the love of God to penetrate into his soul, but he would rather find his happiness from the manna in this life rather than on the bread of life that the Lord was about to establish, and most especially that mystery that he tried to unveil to his blessed apostles. And so we learn from today's gospel that the Lord always and everywhere is working that we may come to his mercy, that is, repent of our sins, beg his pardon, and then putting our hands to the plow, not looking back, but always striving to go forward, that is, forward in the love of the Lord, picking ourselves up with after our falls, persevering through all trials and tribulations, because we know that which has been promised to us is greater than any happiness that this life and that this world can provide. And so, as we more earnestly approach those sacred mysteries by which the Lord will establish for until the end of time that institute by which his mercy is dispensed, because she is the administrator of the sacraments of Almighty God, those most extraordinary channels of grace that God has made the ordinary means for our salvation. And so let us persevere with the Blessed Virgin Mary in her compassion for the Lord at this moment and her compassion for us, so that we too may have compassion on the Lord and his mother who suffered so much for us, and on compassion for each other, knowing that by our prayers and our sacrifices we work for the salvation not only of ourselves but for every member of the mystical body and every member of the human family, and most especially for those members who are furthest from the Lord and his church, knowing that the Lord answers our prayers if they are done out of love of him. And so let us strive to learn from the Lord to be bringers of his mercy, bringers of his mercy to all that we come in contact with, because as members of his body, the Lord has entrusted us with cooperating in the dispersion of his graces until the end of time. That is done in a mysterious way that it is not possible for us to fully comprehend in this life, and indeed it will give us joy for all eternity contemplating that mystery, never fully penetrating into its very depths, but always joyfully contemplating all the mysteries of our faith, because we have loved the one who first loved us. And so it is the prior love of Jesus Christ, that prior love that did not prevent him to that prevented him from using his power in order to prevent his crucifixion, but indeed it was that prior love for us that he came to offer himself for us. And so all is based on the love of Christ. There is nothing we can do to work out our salvation, as St. Paul tells us, in fear and trembling. Christ has done all first. Even the grace to respond to the graces that he won for us is a grace that the Lord gives to each and every one of us. So it is truly true what he would tell the young man. God alone is good, and we can do no good unless God gives us the grace. If we seek to keep that good to ourselves, then we do not glorify God. But if we strive by instilling a love of Christ in all souls, then we do not keep the good that the Lord has given us, but we give it back to him, and we will receive an eternal reward for it. Judas sought to keep all his gifts to himself and would not give them as the Lord wished him to give them, and so he fell. He fell from one of the highest chairs that a human soul could have been given, for he was called to be an apostle. But also in his life we see very clearly the need to pray for all our priests, and most especially for our Holy Father, the Pope, and for all bishops throughout the world, for they truly are the leaders of the mystical body. And if the shepherds do not lead, then the sheep are scattered. And so let us truly pray this during this sacred triduum that is rapidly approaching. Let us truly pray for the shepherds of the church, that they may be vanguards and pillars of truth, so that the sheep may not be scattered, but the sheep united in that one true faith, without any diluting of that faith, the sheep may bring about the transformation of our society and of our world, a society in a world in so much need of the mystery that is about to begin, the mystery of God's prior love for us, in order that we may love him and ultimately to enjoy him for all eternity in heaven.
Christus.